Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Hello, Chemda.
Hi.
My face is a little better.
It is a little bit better.
I had an accident with my shower. We had a disagreement, me and my bathroom. You'll hear all about it on the last show we did with Troy Allen.
Where you fucked up your face, your toes. And then I saw you recently. It turns out you have black and blue marks all over your legs.
All over.
Yeah. Who falls like that?
Why do I talk
like that to you? Why do you tolerate me talking like that to you? You come in and you're like, I have a bad accent and I can hardly speak. I'm here at work. I'm like, why'd you do that?
So let me mention Keith and the Girl VIP. It's what keeps the show going. I'm going to need plastic surgery. We have to do a major move from this studio as well. Andrew writes, Keith and the Girl, I adore VIP. And I don't in any way want to sound like I'm complaining. There's more content available than I could ever listen to. It's every show we've ever done. It's all the spinoff shows we do.
That's a challenge, folks.
But Keith always says that it includes every show you've ever done. But it doesn't really, does it? Every show? Yes. All is all, baby. I understand the confusion. 15 years, over 3,000 shows. It's all there.
I think it adds up to over 4,000 episodes of podcasts.
It's all there. Joseph writes, fine, you win in the subject.
Wow, Keith, you're so convincing.
I've been lobbying for a commercial-free version of VIP for a year, and so now without successfully changing your mind. So he didn't change my mind so far. It'd be impractical to take out commercials and then put the shows in VIP, A. B, I think sometimes the commercials are so fun.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, somebody, a bunch of people said they wanted like a separate, I don't know what to call it anymore, DVD, but a separate download of
commercials.
Just a commercial.
Yeah.
I
dip into VIP every once in a while when you offer a free month or if there is something crazy good behind the paywall. I also realize people have been bragging up the Last Week on Keith and the Girl program since it started, our weekly wrap-up show. But even when I sampled VIP, I hadn't listened to it.
Oh.
I have been a fucking moron, full stop. Music to my ears. Check if it's my birthday, Julia. I don't often listen to back catalog shows, but can't get enough of this spinoff. It is so goddamn brilliant. Bianca is hilarious, has the hottest of hot takes, and is not afraid to call bullshit when necessary. Long story short, just updated my membership. No plans to step away from VIP anytime again.
Yes.
If anyone is a regular listener to Keith and the Girl and isn't subscribed to VIP so that you can hear the wrap-up shows, you are missing out.
This is like on love.
Right. This is like, you know, now he's on board.
Right.
And he's telling everybody else what an idiot they are.
Well, you know, he said he's a fucking moron, full stop.
Right.
So don't be a fucking moron.
It's Guns N' Roses telling me not to do drugs. You know? Not enough superlatives to describe its awesomeness. Cheers, Joseph. Thank you, Joseph.
That's awesome.
That's sweet. KeithandTheGirl.com/VIP right now in honor of my father. Coupon code DAD lets you try it out for free. DAD.
But it's for a limited time.
Yes. KeithandTheGirl.com/VIP. In fact, fairly recently on Last Week on Keith and the Girl, we were talking about Landfair and how on social media, big Keith and the Girl supporter for many years, but really attacks me all the time on social media. And it's so strange to me. And I'm going to put this clip that we mentioned her at the end of this show, but she did it again. Somebody wrote, at Keith and the Girl. I haven't listened to Keith and the Girl for a long time. I think I'm going to start again.
Yay.
So I go, okay, but that's a weird at. You know? Mm. I just want you to know, I haven't been listening.
Uh-huh.
Send. Mm-hmm. And I go, all right, that's just funny, the at. And she says, you enjoy being fake rude to everybody. It's your comedy. It's okay. It's usually funny. I have days where I understand that and days where it makes me mad. So keep telling fans it's offensive to at your podcast. It's clearly hilarious on levels I'm missing today.
Is that Landfair?
Yes.
Landfair.
Oh, my God. Something's up, Landfair. I know it. I know it. That just hurt my teeth. I had a dream last night, middle of the night.
Oh, good. Tell us your dream.
I'm laying on my back, and I dreamt that it was on my front, and then I smacked my teeth into my bed, and I popped up in real life, of course, on my back, and my teeth hurt. What is up with this brain?
I don't even know what you just said. I have no idea how it happened.
If you have that dream, I think it means your teeth are falling out.
I just picture you trying to get up, but like you're acting like a fish.
Right. All right, everybody. Today's guest. First off, he's been featured on MTV, MTV2's Guy Code, the podcast Making Podcasts Great Again, J-Nog.
Yay. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
All right. By the way, how old is your kid again?
He just turned 2 in May.
2 in May.
Yeah.
Did he see the Jets game? He happens to be a big Jets fan, like you.
Well, I'm training him to be a Jets fan.
Yeah, you're still going to do that?
Yeah, I'm still going to do that.
Like,
he's going to learn life is tough at a young age, and that's that's training, being a Jets fan.
My nephew is exactly your son's age, also born in May, also just turned 2.
Play day time.
Yeah, totally. And people are very weird about babies. I'm sure you get this also. So Michael and Maricela, my brother and his wife, they get like, if he's next to a girl baby, they're like, oh, he's going to break hearts. If he's by himself, he's going to break hearts and he's going to, oh, are they on a date? Are they going to hook up? Like shit like that. Mm-hmm. My brother now goes, this is my new response. He goes, no, we're raising him to be a gay.
I would say we're aiming for transgender. Fingers crossed.
I was going to say, we keep using like he and whatever. I can't believe we're already gendering them.
Right. Here he is, host of Too Many Cooks.
Yes.
Pemda's favorite weekly show, right?
Yes.
Luke Tuma.
Hey,
how what's you doing, up, buddy?
Thanks for having me, guys.
You don't watch football, right?
I do watch football, and I'm a Bills fan, so I was actually happy with the results.
Is that offensive? Yeah. Is that offensive as a guy where people go, you're not?
They say I don't watch football, right? Yeah. A little offensive. Yeah. That's like something one of my friend's dads would say. Like, are you too skinny to watch football? Huh?
I don't have to play, Dad.
Yeah. It's funny because from my side of it, I'm like, oh, that's a compliment. He's saying you're a nice guy who actually talks and not faces forward with his friends to watch something. But yeah, it's highly offensive and you should take offense.
If you said that, I would take it as a compliment. Okay. Because Keith said it comes off as an insult. <It's
true. laughs> Keith goes, I'm bigger than you, right? Okay, yeah. Let's move on.
Exactly.
You don't enjoy all the rough and tumble stuff I do, right?
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, you're like some douchebag Boston guy. You're like, you don't watch football, do you, you queer?
On your podcast, Luke, you talked about quitting drinking for about a month and a half. Are you still on that train?
Yeah, pretty much. I'll have a beer every now and then, but like...
Oh, so it's going good.
Yeah.
Every now and then. What but was like, it before?
Every now and then in a night?
A lot. No. Like once every couple of weeks, maybe, but like, I was drinking so much, and then...
What made you, like, what's so much? Like, embarrassing?
I mean, I don't get, like, blackout embarrassing drunk in front of other people or comics. That's mm-hmm. never been my thing, but like, after my shows are done, I'll just get hammered.
Like by yourself?
Kinda, yeah. Or like with one friend who, I'll find the friend who likes to drink a lot. Mm. And it will be like someone that I might not even like him that much. I just know he's a drinker. And then we'll hang out till like 4 in the morning.
I did notice that when Keith stopped drinking, he's like, I thought my friend was funny. And I'm like, uh-huh.
Dude, right?
I noticed that.
So many people are like, dude, I haven't seen you in forever. I'm like, yeah, I don't think I liked you that much.
Right.
One of them is like, yo, this guy said this to me while I was hanging out. I'm like, he says shit like that all the time. That's why I don't like him. Yeah. And you still do. But now that you're not drinking.
Right.
Right.
Are you dead sober, Keith?
Yes.
For a while?
Yeah. Nice. I take... a weed from Hemda.
So. Oh, nice. Oh, look how he blames me. I take weed from Hemda. There's no other way to get weed other than from Hemda.
Hemda's promoting my relapse.
Yeah.
I'm just saying what could help you maybe is other drugs. Makes it easier.
Explore other options.
Right. Luke tweeted out, I don't drink tap water unless it's through a Brita filter, but I'll drink tequila out of a cup that my friend keeps his toothbrush in. The alcohol is self-cleaning, right?
Yeah, exactly. That was part of the problem. Yeah. Putting God knows what in my body.
It's weird to me when you're reminded that the president of the United States, Donald Trump, doesn't drink. Like, there's no excuses.
Yeah.
You know? He tweeted out, unbeknownst to almost everyone, the major Taliban leaders and, separately, the president of Afghanistan were going to secretly meet with me at Camp David on Sunday. First of all, what the fuck? Picture you got to do room service for the Taliban. They were coming to the U.S. tonight. Unfortunately, in order to build false leverage, they admitted to an attack in Kabul that killed one of our great American soldiers and 11 other people. I immediately canceled the meeting and called off peace negotiations.
What?
Yeah.
It's weird. Taliban known to be level-headed, discuss things, you know.
Your listeners are like, are these still Luke's tweets?
Right.
Well, what's funny, he's like, these guys, turns out... they're not so good, so we're not going to have a peace talk.
Right.
We're going to keep going.
You're in the military. You're at Camp David. You know the Taliban is down the hall. No, it didn't work out? What a fucking surprise. Did you see that the president said that this Hurricane Dorian, mm-hmm. was going to attack Alabama, among other places?
Yeah.
And the National Weather Service and Birmingham, Alabama, their specific state weather people, They said, no, it's not going to attack Alabama. It's going to be more east. Don't worry about it.
So is it because they prayed?
Well, right. It was never going to go there.
The I like how it's going to attack.
Yeah. Yeah. This hurricane, she's bleeding from wherever. So the Weather Services says, no, that's not going to happen. So what Trump does, so he doesn't look stupid, he thinks, he talks about the hurricane, holds up something from the Weather Center showing where the hurricane's going to go, the path of the hurricane. Okay. Here, I'll show you a picture. I'll put it at keithandthegirl.com also. So it shows where the hurricane's going to go. Then in a black Sharpie, he added that it's going to go into Alabama.
Oh, no.
This is 2,000% true.
Well, he is the chosen one, right? So he must know more than anyone else.
And during that...
I honestly got chills.
And when he shows it, he doesn't mention in Alabama, like I said. He just shows. So the hurricane's coming. Like, it's going to be very big. It's going to be very wet. And we're supposed to see like, oh, Alabama, like he tweeted the other day.
You're like, you're like, why are there dick drawings on the weather map? Oh.
But you know, that's not even the scariest part, although like I said, it gave me chills. The scariest part is there are... I think at least a million people who are like, right on.
Right.
Oh, just, way more than that.
Yeah.
Way more than
that. Yeah, I wanted to be conservative with my million. You know what I mean?
Millions, sure.
I would say millions.
Well, there's that famous picture of the president and his wife walking outside. It's raining. He has the umbrella, but it's only over him. Okay? But no, you just take a Sharpie, you draw the umbrella bigger. Holy fuck.
You know what it is? I think we are in the Sims. We are in the simulation.
Right.
And this is the test to be like, should we even pay attention and check on the Sims?
Right.
Or the shit just happened anyway.
Now, the Sims have a virus. It is crazy. And for what it's worth, and it's not worth anything, it's against the law to publicly say something against the Weather Service.
Well, he didn't say.
You know,
the Sharpie said.
To make up your own weather report.
Is it?
Yeah.
What a great law that we had to make up for people like Trump.
Right.
Our president.
Sarah Palin, her husband filed for divorce.
Okay. Is that allowed in Christianity?
No. Well, you can get divorced, you can't remarry. But I don't know if they know that. They know, you know, husband and wife and all this.
That, you gotta admit, like, that has to be so bad. You know what I mean? Because these are the last people that would want to publicly break up. Like, they would sooner come up with 50,000 alternative plans before they have to admit, quote, defeat.
It's rumored that he's gay, but who knows?
That's probably what it is. I was thinking, Sarah Palin, pretty rich, kind of hot. If you're like 50, what are you?
But also, if you went for her like 30 years ago, you're still like into that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that.
Also, if you're her age, she looks pretty good for her age. Yeah. And she's got like a gajillion dollars. I wouldn't divorce Sarah Palin is what I'm saying. I definitely wouldn't.
Unless you wanted cock.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only reason I would divorce Sarah Palin.
They're both 55. You remember, of course, she was governor of Alaska from 2006 to 2009. 2008, apparently you can have time, and she ran under John McCain. She ran for vice president. And to me, honestly, that made me not even think John McCain's an option. I believe she was thrust upon him, but he didn't act like it. He acted like it was his choice, and I'm like, then you're an idiot.
Oh, see, I thought that gave him leverage because she was a pretty, like they were saying, very pretty, very into guns, spoke like your mom for Republicans.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh boy, here's some brownies or whatever. That's what moms say, right?
Here's an AR-15.
So she, of course, didn't win. 2009, she's governor. She's bored by that. She had presidential dreams. She says, I'm not going to be a governor anymore. She quits. Do you remember she said...
I thought that was out of embarrassment or something.
She said she doesn't want to be a lame duck governor, which absolutely... So she quit. It makes no sense whatsoever. Being like, let's say, a lame duck president, you're on your second term, you're really not doing anything because you can't be reelected. She's saying she doesn't want to be a lame duck governor, so she's quitting altogether. Mm-hmm. Makes absolutely no sense. They're fighting over the youngest child, Trig, the other children, who are now adults, Bristol, Willow, Piper, Track.
Huh? Wait, what?
Trail Mix, Tackle Box.
Oh, my God.
These are real names. Yeah, I mean, take the kids away at Piper, Willow, Bristol, Track, and Trig. It's not a
This is what happens when you leave white people alone. Like, you need to put them around, like, Puerto Ricans and stuff so that doesn't happen. Nobody, no white person that lives in New York City names their kids anything like that. But if you leave them up in Alaska, they're like, Willow Trigg.
Oh, you go to Brooklyn, you'd be surprised.
Yeah, you can't name your kid that because they'll get punched in the face.
That's the new whites of Williamsburg.
Yeah.
Anchorage, Alaska.
It's a good show, the new whites of Williamsburg.
They're in Anchorage, Alaska. That's right next door to Russia, you know. he filed. That's what's interesting too. He filed, not them at the same time. So it sounds behind their back to get some kind of leverage.
Oh, I don't know, because I'm trying to file, and what a pain in the ass. So right. If he filed, it's like, okay, great.
Incompatibility.
I don't know. Yeah, do you go together to file ever? Right.
Incompatibility of temperament. They've been together 31 years.
Incompatibility of temperament.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at all these ways to go. Like, can we just stop?
Right.
You know?
What is the pain in the ass about filing for divorce?
Well, I looked it up, and you have to go to the court to get a file number. Then you can fill out these forms that are very confusing. Then you have to send that to your partner, but you can't hand it to them. You got to get a third party to hand it to them. Mm-hmm. And then that starts it. And then there's like another thing. I don't know. I have a spreadsheet.
So that explains why people murder their spouses. Yeah. That is a lot easier than just paperwork.
Yeah. And what's funny is, like, when you get married, everyone helps you with the paperwork. They're like, oh, you're, you know, just come to here and just pretty much sign these papers. And the person who marries you is like sending it in and shit. Now let's call upon all those motherfuckers.
Right.
I really think that we should have divorce parties instead of weddings, because at the wedding, you're like, of course you're celebrating in bed, you're celebrating everywhere. But when you get divorced, that's when you need help.
Yeah. He ended up saying, I don't want to be a lame duck husband. So goodbye. She said, that doesn't make any sense. He said, it does. Don't listen to the media. See ya. Peace. Picture she's trying to do a dating profile, right? And the dating profile is like, oh, what newspapers do you read regularly? Fuck.
Gotcha.
The gotcha question. I can't get away from it. This is a story in Mississippi where, according to your religious beliefs, if you want to, you don't have to marry gay people. For example, that kind of thing. You know,
or like if you're a church.
Yeah. If you're a church, if you're like, they're just a regular event hall. They just hold events, but they didn't want to let an interracial couple.
Interracial, not even interfaith.
That's not on the books. You are not allowed to not marry an interracial couple. You could not marry somebody who's gay, saying it's against your beliefs.
You could.
This was a double whammy.
You could deny.
Where was this?
Mississippi.
Okay.
They didn't want to marry an interracial couple.
Right. And they're gay. Everything. They had all of them.
Oh, I see.
They're interracial and gay.
So every box was checked on that form.
So you can't say no to interracial. You can say no to gay. Okay. So this woman says, you know what? Let me secretly record you while you say you won't do this wedding.
Okay.
First of all, we don't do gay weddings or mixed race.
Mixed race. Okay.
So why not? Because of our Christian race. I mean, our Christian belief.
Okay. We're Christians as well. So what?
I would say I'm being told it's a black man and a white woman, so it had nothing to do with being gay. It was flat out race.
It's just interracial couple. That's it.
Oh, yeah. She just wanted to mention they didn't do gay. By the way, she said because of our Christian race, didn't she?
Yeah. Yeah.
First of all, we don't do gay weddings or mixed race.
Okay, so why not?
Because of our Christian race. I mean, our Christian belief.
Oops.
Okay, we're Christians as well, so yes, what in the Bible tells you that?
Well, I don't want to argue my faith.
No, that's fine.
We just don't participate.
Okay.
We just choose not to.
Okay. So that's your Christian belief, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to discuss. Please don't challenge my faith.
But I love the yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes ma'am. Yes. Yes, right.
Politely being horrible. Mm-hmm. I love how, like, they're not even gay, too. She's, like, looking at the black guy, like, in case you're in the closet, you can't come back.
The owner of the event hall ended up apologizing, saying that they realized that their faith does allow interracial couples to get married. They said they didn't realize.
Their faith does, but their hearts don't.
Right. We ended up talking to our pastor, and we understand that you could marry people no matter what the race. What? They didn't know that. They thought the Bible was racist.
They must be staying up at night. A lot of people going like, oh, these people are going to hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they genuinely think that.
Yes, Boone's Camp
is... for sure.
This is Boone's Camp. Sorry for the pain and inconvenience they have caused this couple and have invited them to use the facility. You don't use it, right?
No.
Even if it's free.
Even if they pay you, that's weird.
Yeah.
No, you use it and you invite every black person in Mississippi to go.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, we didn't know. Come on in. We didn't know. We'll do free brownies or something for you. There's a new show on HBO called Uninterrupted, and it's people in a barbershop where you can really get down and talk, you know, the business, right? You don't have to worry about political correctness, this kind of thing. Well, Lil Nas is in it, Lil Nas X, and you'll recognize Kevin Hart, and Lil Nas is talking about when he came out. He had that song, Old Town Road, one of the greatest songs ever made. And
when he came out of the closet?
When he came out of the closet.
Okay. Is that when he came out of the closet?
Yeah, the song was number one. He's getting popular and he goes, you know what? I'm going to do my part. I'm gay.
Okay. All right.
He kind of knew. But anyway, he came out and Kevin Hart is acting like in this clip, what's the big deal? Which is so stupid because if you remember, Kevin Hart almost didn't get the Oscars because of an old tweet that was homophobic, saying if he catches, it wasn't even clever, if he catches his gay son doing something gay, he's going to break a dollhouse over his face.
But see, that's why I would think that he thinks this is not a big deal, because he got hit for the opposite. He's like, well, everyone got me on this homophobic joke. That means everybody's on your side, so what's the big deal?
I see.
Well, that early success, you felt it was important to make an announcement. Recently.
He said he was gay. So what?
Yeah, what's the point?
Well, why did he?
I don't have to point out that's Kevin Hart, right?
You're like, this is Charlie Rose.
Recently.
He said he was gay. So what?
Yeah, what's the point? Well, why did he feel that was necessary? Who cares? That's actually my question. Why do you feel it was necessary to come out and say that?
It's not that, like, it's like being forced.
This is Lil Nas.
It's just like knowing, like, growing up, like, I'm growing up to hate that. I'm not supposed to.
Hate what?
Homosexuality, gay people.
Oh, I love that. Lil Nas X. Homosexuality, you fucking idiot. It's a big deal. Dude. I can't get married in Mississippi.
Hey, what?
Homosexuality, gay people. Come on now.
Why you going to hate really it?
He just gets up and goes, fuck this show.
Hey, what?
Homosexuality, gay people. Come on now.
Why you going to
If you're really from the hood, you know. You know, it's not some... So it's like, if for me, the cool dude with the song on top of everything to say this, any other time, like, I'm doing this for attention in my eyes. But if you're doing this, like, while you're at the top, you know it's, like, for real. And it's, like, showing, like, it doesn't really, like, matter, I guess.
Exactly. It doesn't.
There it is.
There it is. Doesn't matter. Okay. Mic drop.
Not the most articulate.
Well, there's a lot going on. They're buzzing hair.
They're buzzing.
They're all getting their haircuts.
Fades are going on right there. I mean, come on.
Number one. And
what did he say and who was saying that last piece?
Lil Nas was saying that.
He was saying.
He was just saying it's a big deal when he acted dumb.
So he was saying when he grew up, if it was like a big person who said he was gay, that was big to him as a gay person.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he really taught them all a lesson. Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson is saying that I believe Woody Allen. I don't believe the sexual abuse allegations against him. Thing is, no one asked her. She just goes, I believe Woody Allen.
That's celebrity culture now. They just have to tell you everything, how they feel and what they think about everything.
But how are you, so if we have to question that he didn't do it when there's more proof that he did do it, how is she like, you know what, I thought about it. There's no proof that he didn't do it, but I'm going to go say that he didn't.
Alex Fernie writes, so what's your favorite part of autumn? And Scarlett Johansson says, I don't think slaves had it so bad. No. I was asking.
Dave Chappelle in his new special announced. He's like, I don't think that Michael Jackson did it.
Right.
It's just like, that was just a statement.
Yeah.
And then he said, but if he were to have done it. And then he told the joke. Do you remember Sal from Sal's Comedy Hole? That fucking hack piece of shit.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
So 15.
I never got my clothes.
Yeah. Keith won like this stand-up. World's, what is it?
World's funniest fucking dude.
Where's
your trophy?
I have it. Believe me. As a World Comedy Laugh-Off. And you got $2,500 in cash, which I got. And you're supposed to get $2,500 in this clothing store that his brother ran. And I never got that.
Yeah, but he's like,
so $2,500 worth of Ed Hardy shirts.
Yeah.
Dude, we got you $2,500 worth of red bandanas. That's fucking it, dude.
And it's one, you know, it's one shirt.
Or $2,500 suits.
You know, yeah. You're like, great, now I have 1,100 pairs of cowboy boots.
But that's not even why we were pissed at him. He was just such a fucking douche and obviously like was doing the worst in comedy that you can do as a producer and as a person who has a club. He was just kind of like the most bleeding and taking advantage of new people, or like it was just,
yeah, I never heard good stories.
Yeah. So what was my point of bringing him up? Just kidding. So 15 years ago when you were in that,
yeah,
he was telling the same jokes that Dave Chappelle was saying, because he was like, are you kidding me? If I'm 10,
he said, I was so poor that, yeah, when I got a sword to play with, it was the actual sword from a swordfish. So he says, I got this stupid swordfish. That's how little money we had. You're telling me Michael Jackson's fucking a kid getting $1 million and they're complaining?
And he was like, I'm ready to suck Michael Jackson's yeah, dick, right? Same premise and idea behind it. He's like, Michael Jackson, you know, and plus he didn't do it because if he were to do it, he was hanging out with Macaulay Culkin. That's the dude to fuck.
Right.
That was his job.
And even if you're going to tell
by it, the way, that just says Dave Chappelle in his adult life took a look at Macaulay Culkin as a kid and said,
right,
that's the one I'd go for.
Chappelle put his hands on his face.
Oh. Yeah, I love the idea of Chappelle stealing jokes from the owner of Sal's comedy.
It's been long enough.
Yeah, right. Sitting in the back eating like a moldy chicken finger. He's like, this is pretty good, man.
But the thing is like, I think everybody who didn't believe that Michael Jackson did it was telling those jokes. Like, the next morning, you go to school and said, Michael Jackson sucked my dick? Right. Like, I get your premise, and I think it could be funny if you still blame Michael Jackson and the right people.
Right.
Then,
yeah. Well, what bothered me about that section, even if he just told those jokes, there's no reason he had to say the statement that didn't have a joke in and of itself.
Yeah.
I don't think Michael Jackson did it. Period.
Yeah.
I didn't like...
Like, to be clear, he was like, it was right, a to be clear thing. I'm going to take my stance here.
Yeah, it's the special Sticks and Stones. And in general, I liked it a lot. Chappelle's always great. But he talks about Louis C.K., who's obviously his buddy. It's at least the second time over two specials that he talked about him. And he goes, what's the big deal? Louis C.K. was on the phone jerking off to a woman. You know,
what are you going to do? Are you going to call 911 on the other line? Like, yeah, I think he's jerking off. And like, okay, where is he? No, he's on the other line. And that right, was his whole joke.
Yeah. And I don't like that you're changing the facts. It wasn't one time sitting down over the phone. Nobody was around you. It was 8 times different women. One of those times you blocked the door to the bathroom. Don't change that. And then, rightfully so, you have a problem with Jussie Smollett and R. Kelly. But how come they didn't get a break? And you know Michael Jackson didn't do it. And Louis C.K. only masturbated once over the phone.
Yeah, it was disappointing, but this is really weird. I think the Dave Chappelle, that special, was exactly what I knew it would be. Like, when he lands the good jokes, it's like, wow, you're so fucking brilliant. This is exactly what I want to hear from comedy. It's so good. When he actually did an impersonation, do you remember the impersonations? Mm-hmm. So funny, and he's beating up on us for being little snowflakes, but right, it was so fucking funny. Yeah. We laughed out loud, but there was points, so it's like, whatever you're still behind in, like the gay jokes that you were saying before are now trans jokes, you know, because yeah, you haven't come yet to that timeline.
Yeah, but isn't the whole point of the special that he's going to be inflammatory? Like, he named it Sticks and Stones. That's kind of what, you know what you're getting into watching that shit. Like, you know he's going to be...
Well, you know what you're getting into in comedy unless you're an asshole. Like, yeah, you don't watch anything with your arms crossed going like, let's see the fucking ignorance, you know? Yeah. You have expectations that this guy's going to push buttons, which has always been great. The Chappelle Show was great because he pushed buttons. He let us know about, like, his own thing. So when he talks from his perspective, what it's like to be black, what it's like to be a comic, like shit like that, on point, everything's right. But when he talks about trans people, it's like, clearly you don't really fully understand this, so you can't come from that place. Am I going to sit there and get mad at you? I would like to announce that I'm done being mad at people. Okay, I can't. I don't give a shit. Dave?
Right. But doesn't he
you
open up?
You don't get it?
By saying that, like, he doesn't really know a lot, he just thinks it's funny. Doesn't he say that?
Oh, is that your comedy special? You just think things are funny? Like,
I'm just saying that. I'm just saying he's not coming from a point of view where He's admitting that he's not very educated about that.
Yeah, I don't.
What kind of is that?
Yeah. I agree because he's not claiming to be right about anything. He's just saying I'm just going to be funny about
it. I'll tell you why.
I'm just going to joke about it and see. You know, like he's not trying to get on a soapbox and
He's not trying to get on a soapbox with a fucking microphone in his hand.
Yeah, well, he tricked you.
You can look at every single thing a comic says and take it as like the word of God. The main point is to make people laugh. Now, if you don't agree with the agenda that he's making people laugh, that's one thing.
Hey, Jay, you can't take everything that I say and take it as the word of God, okay? Yeah. I'm just speaking into a microphone, my opinions.
Yeah, that's
and some of this I'm going to change my mind later on, but you might feel a way about it.
Yeah, it's a trick. It's when you like him at his best, he thought it through and he means it.
Mm-hmm.
When something doesn't go, if he's like, hey, I was just fucking around. No, he meant all
the
that.
The thing is, we're all fucking around. You turn on this podcast and you expect to laugh. There have been times where I took Keith's jokes very seriously. What ends up happening is like we miscommunicate and it's like, oh, I was joking about that. And I'm like, you sound ignorant. It's like, well, then that's the point. It's not the point that like you're just mad at this fucking topic. I get it. But it's like a lot of people with microphones and followers are going, what can I say? And it's like, you are saying it. You have a microphone, you have a platform, you're saying it, and you should expect people to react. You're getting the trans thing wrong. Yes, they're just jokes. I'm not tearing you apart. Nothing's going to happen to Dave Chappelle from me. I'm letting you know you got it wrong. If I told a black joke and he said, hey, you're getting it wrong, that's not actually our experience, and that's why it's not funny. I'm not saying, like, go die in a ditch. I'm saying the reason why some things are not funny is because you don't have that experience. You have an experience of an outside person. You sound ignorant. That's why your joke didn't land. The premise and some of the ideas of the joke, if turned around and blamed on the right victims and the right, you know, not the right victims, the right people, if you turn that, that joke could be very funny because I understand your sense of humor, and I think Dave Chappelle is one of the funniest people on earth.
Yeah, but if the joke got a big laugh in the room, didn't it land?
The joke, first of all, that room was fucking hot, okay? He started, his first sentence, people were laughing. His first joke was not until like 2-3 minutes in. People just laughed at any premise that he was saying. Why is he getting laughs, a pass? He's landing.
If he's getting laughs, he's landing. If you went up and bombed, I'd be like, you could be like.
Do you think Dave Chappelle could get up in front of his own audience and bomb?
No, but probably not. But
like you came to his special.
Probably not, no.
You came to his special. This Dave Chappelle, he's an absolute fucking legend, and he is a genius of sorts. Yes, we shouldn't expect him to, like, do math, you know, on, like, what do you expect and blah, blah, blah. And he's not, but he has changed lives. The reason why he left the Chappelle show is because shit got deep, because comedy does change things, and it does get into people's minds. He left. He went to Africa all of a sudden. Why? Because things aren't important or because words are important? And now he's trying to find the funny again in them, which is fully understandable. But to not be able to criticize this giant.
I don't agree with that. I think you can criticize for sure.
Yeah,
like,
I
don't like
what
when they
want.
Complain. Right. That's what I don't like when they complain. Where it's like, I can't say this, I can't
Why?
Say that.
Why
that
do you I like when they complain?
Like Dave and all them?
When the comic complains.
Wait, oh, the, when the comic complains about what?
I don't Sorry. Like when like Dave and Jerry and them are like, I can't say this, I can't
that's
say that.
That's been going on for 30 years. That, I was a kid and I saw that.
That I'm kind of like, come on, man, you know your territory. Yeah. But I also think like, I love when people are ignorant and funny and have the wrong opinion from a perspective that's talking about a perspective that they don't know, and it's funny. I'll go to a Joey Diaz show. He's hilarious, and I'm like crying laughing the entire time, and everything he's saying is horrible and about people whose perspective he doesn't have, and I still think it's like the funniest thing
well,
in the world.
Well, I think that depends on the person. You have an Anthony Jeselnik that can literally say anything because he comes off as evil.
Yeah.
But Chappelle doesn't come off as evil. He comes off as thought through.
Yeah, but I still like it even when they're not doing a character. Like Joe, like a guy like Joey Diaz is not doing a character. He's just being himself, and he's saying extremely ignorant things. He's making me laugh when he says the ignorant.
I get you. Well, look, here's the kicker: we're giving this special a thumbs up.
Yeah, it's a good special.
Wait till you hear about something we hate.
did you watch Bird's special?
Well, it came out this morning, right?
Yeah, it came out like late last night.
Yeah,
there has been.
I watched
nine
like 15 minutes of it before I got.
Was it good?
I liked it so far.
Everybody said it was good. I haven't seen it yet though.
No, but I'm just again. It's like Keith said. I love Dave Chappelle, and I give him all the credit, and I do think it's hard to be on mic and have such a big audience and everything, but you can also hear, hey, that trans joke would be better if you knew what trans people really are. That's all. His entire trans joke was, but they look funny.
Right.
Okay. I mean, okay. You know what I mean? But
how about on trans? The car bit?
Huh?
Riding in the car?
The LGBTs, the T's are getting along with the B's.
I,
oh,
you know
you
what?
Did you see that fucking, Did you see that video?
No.
Oh, with Owen Benjamin?
Yeah. Do you know Owen Benjamin?
It was pretty...
Psycho. Oh, if you want to have someone to get mad at, he's just like lunatic. I opened for him at a casino once.
By the way, I'm not mad. Am I coming off as mad?
No, you're not coming off
as mad.
No,
okay.
You're fine.
Okay.
But Owen Benjamin's this like wild man who is like a very industry like supported comic, and now he lives up in the woods and like upstate New York, like near Saranac Lake.
Okay.
And he's,
that's a way to go crazy.
He's like as far right as I've seen a comedian be. And
ooh, that's
period. Far. Like farther than like Gavin McGinnis, like crazy. But he is saying that Chappelle kind of stole his joke. And the weird thing is, it is similar.
It's very similar.
And this guy's a lunatic. Like, thinks we never went to the moon. Thinks Jews are, like, you know, fucking kids. He's nuts. Right. He's nuts. And I was like, I turned it on and I saw the video and I was like, what the fuck? This guy thinks Dave Chappelle stole a joke from him. And I watched it. I was like, damn, it's pretty close.
Oh, wow. Huh. Well, the car ride LGBT thing.
Same idea.
Thing?
Yeah, it's
punches.
Like almost the same exact idea.
I don't know his, but I thought it was clever. And it is. And I like that part. Mm-hmm. Until he got to like the only part of trans people is that they're funny looking as a joke. I'm like, you lost me. But yeah, the description of it. Yeah, that's the description of our progress. That makes sense. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But he knows it's not the same as transracial, doesn't he? Do you? I don't know if he does know.
Right.
You know, so I can be Chinese? Okay.
Well, yes, Rachel Dolezal.
Right.
Didn't we all discuss this a couple years ago with that woman? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well. And then he says his wife doesn't like the joke and his wife is Asian. It's like, well, ignore.
Right.
Cancel.
Well, I bought the house, so fuck her. So anyway, Scarlett Johansson is defending Woody Allen. Julia Clare writes, Scarlett Johansson, you can't be playing non-white roles and be dating Colin Jost and defend Woody Allen. You got to pick one. That's a good point.
Yeah, what non-white...
She does a lot of non-white roles. I think she's trying to be Sun Yi is what the rumor is. We'll see.
She's playing Harriet Tubman.
Right. All right. Let me mention this. Euphoric Hemda. Y-O-O-F-O-R-I-C. I got some right here. This is hemp oil infused chewing gum. This I'm going to take. Have nice dreams. Not dreams where I'm smacking myself in the face. Nice dreams. You chew it up and you get like what's understood to be the maximum absorption. They have the highest rate of this getting into your system. So it's not weed, right? It's not THC.
No.
But it calms you down just the same. It makes you feel better just the same.
This is the stuff that doesn't get you high. It doesn't go to your head. It just has, like he said, that calming effect. Yeah. A lot of people are using it in like lotions and stuff. It's the stuff that won't affect your brain. So, but when I see people administering some weed type substances, they go through people's gums. Like I've seen videos of little kids having seizures and they put, and this is THC, this is different. They put it on their gums so that it can get in faster. Wow. So your gums is like a good insertion.
Well, they say they have the best absorption rate on the market. So if you know this kind of stuff, their rate is 84%. So that's up there.
I also feel like if you chew gum, why not chew this? Because a lot of people chew gum in order to kind of habitually stay calm and maybe just kind of have something to do that is a better habit. I think it's a better habit with this stuff in it.
You reduce anxiety by chewing, and then you reduce anxiety by chewing it.
Exactly.
Specifically. All right, you can try it. Ready? You only need to try Euphoric once to see what all the fuss is about and to prove it. A limited supply of free trials have just been released nationwide. Text GIRL, G-I-R-L.
That's for me.
To 484848 to claim your free trial today while supplies last. That's G-I-R-L to 484848. Message and data rates may apply. You know that. All right. I think you're in for a treat. No
pun. Can you imagine you're at a party and you're like, hemp gum?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm cool.
Well, what did everybody else bring? Foil? They thought they were clever? I mean, I do need toilet paper, but I'll take the gum. Thank you. So I did miss camping.
Yeah. You pussed out, I say. I'm sorry. Again, blaming the victim. But
I can't be hobbling around.
Where are you hobbling? Let me tell you guys something, okay? We have this group camping trip every year. Mm-hmm. Not once does Keith lift a finger. Oh, pardon me. Once. Last year,
Thank you.
Last year, he tried to lift a finger. He's making breakfast eggs, right? He's just... Uh-huh. Cracking eggs into a pan and then literally like half to most of the camp people, we have like 10, 15 people, I don't know, are like, no, move it to the left. No, Keith, use the spatula. No, like giving him directions until someone just takes over and is like, you don't know how to make eggs. And Keith is like, right, me sitting down again, legs up. He so does nothing on these trips.
Dude, that's such a classic move. Yes. That's so smart. I know exactly what you're doing, Keith. I know exactly. You're like, let me be as incompetent as possible.
He's cracking the egg on his head.
Yes.
Look, I don't know what I'm doing, dude.
Shaking my head until the egg falls in the pan.
He's the master of this. Aside from that, also, his girlfriend's realize how much he doesn't do, and he's like, they come to the campsite where everyone's, Keith is sleeping again. Yep, that's what he does. That's what he does. That's what he does when he comes camping. Everyone has their own trip and everyone's allowed to have their own experience. Keith's experience is, am I just here in time for breakfast, lunch, and or dinner? Oh, fascinating. You know, and he's got a penis. It's not like he has to walk to the bathroom. He fucking finds behind a tree. These guys don't care that we're in the campground with. They're like, oh, we're surrounded by people, but I'm behind this tree. Like, okay, you're not in a forest. Like, we're on a campground. Yeah, everyone whips their dick out wherever. You guys don't have to walk anywhere.
No.
Xerxes, in the middle of the fucking night, with his underwear only, goes out and pees. I could hear it. I'm like, are you peeing on the tent? What is happening?
And Xerxes definitely has a huge cock. if anybody knows Xerxes.
He's like a Greek god, this guy.
Xerxes is like a 6'6" black dude. I mean, that thing is like looks like the Loch Ness Monster. I'd be so scared if I was camping and I walked outside and saw Xerxes pissing. I'd be like, is he holding a grizzly bear?
I once put a wet towel like over his dick like it was a tree. And he's like, that's my dick. I'm like, it's so dark out here, you know.
Yeah, like I'm freezing underneath the blankets. He's walking out in his underwear in the middle of the night. Okay.
Well, Hemd and Xerxes were nice enough to put together this swing that my girlfriend got me that I can't put together myself.
Tell your version of that story.
My version was you came over to drop off weed. Hear that, coppers? And then she left and I went, you know what, let me ask. I should have asked when they were there. Do you guys mind helping me put together this swing? Let me ask for help after all. And then you and Xerxes put together the swing.
Okay, here's my version. So he's not coming camping. We do come over on our bikes.
What kind of swing is this? Like for a porch or like a...
Exactly. That's what I should have asked. Okay. You are very
smart. Together a sex swing for him? I mean, this is weird.
Yeah. We're very close. Okay. It's uncomfortably close. No, so we come over, we give him the thing, and we're
the
just
weed.
Yeah. Yes. To be clear, the marijuana.
Well, the thing.
And then we go, listen, you know, we know that your toe is broken. Like, do you want us to get anything else? Because I remember, like, my knee was fucked up when people brought food over. It was very helpful. So in this neighborhood is like, you know, block away is a supermarket. Do you want us to go to the supermarket, pick up your laundry, like whatever, it's right there. And he's like, no, it's this great. And also like, come camping. Not that you ever do anything, but we promise we won't ask you to do. You can put your feet up the whole time. Don't miss camping because your stupid fucking toe, you puss.
Yeah, you're not falling in the shower, you're going camping, all right?
Yeah, exactly. He's like, no, I don't want to walk. I'm like, okay, we get it. So he doesn't want anything. We walk away. We're riding our bike. A block into riding our bike, he goes, you know what? I really didn't want to ask. He calls. I didn't really want to ask, but can you come back and like help me with this swing chair thing? And I'm like, what could that be, right? And we're thinking like, you know, just all of a sudden in the middle of him putting something together, he realized he needs a second pair of hands to like, you know, to hold something together so that the screw can go in with something. We walk into his backyard. Oh my God. You start laughing, Keith, at yourself. Because
it's still in the box.
It's still in the box. Okay. It is a three-person backyard swing with a canopy top, okay? Three-person. And he hasn't even begun to look at it. He's like, oh, I can't pass. I don't even know where to begin on this. Let me call this 5'5" woman.
That's such a Jew thing to do right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're like, okay, fine. We like put it together. Meanwhile, before we left, we're like, hey, after this, we put together the group camping trip. So we have to go to do the shopping for the entire weekend for, you know, like 11 people, I think there were, and get the rental van and like all this shit, get the equipment for people when we get up there. So we didn't do any of that night. We woke up at 5 a.m. the next morning to do that. Not your problem, but
just saying words.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to say all the words. So we put together this thing, took about 2 hours, and then we leave and we're like, no, before we leave, I go, because Kyle got this swing for you, right? Yeah. And so we're thinking like, oh, this is, he's laid up and Kyle got this thing for him and it's going to be up by the time she comes visits next time. Like, this makes total sense.
In that regard, it is a sex swing. She'll see it and we'll have sex.
There you go. All right.
Yes. And for a second, I thought, oh, when did you get this? I'm thinking a couple of days ago, a week ago. When did he get it? Luke, you're up first.
2 weeks.
Okay.
May.
Okay. 3 fucking months ago.
Close.
Wow.
3 months ago. Oh, are you on your way for camping? Let me just... Oh, I don't like to ask, but
I think just... he fell in the shower on purpose just to get the swing up.
What is happening? We live a mile from this fucker, and all summer he goes, oh, I should ask. Like, maybe I should ask my friend Josh, who doesn't know how to do fucking all. What? 3 months.
So thank you.
Let me tell you, this was the story. Okay, so we come to group camping like in groups. Mm-hmm. Every new 2 people that came in, I'm like, listen to this motherfucking story. Because we wanted to make sure that we're not, because we left there going like, what just happened? Like, I got to check into Al-Anon because this is fucked up.
Did
like,
Keith help at all or he watched?
No!
I just watched.
And no.
And smoked his weed that he just got?
Yeah. But we're thinking like, please don't help. You know, if you can't come camping where you do absolutely fuck all, then please don't help us put this thing together. You know, sit down. No. He cleared his entire backyard of all the fucking weeds and shit. He's bending over. He's pulling shit. Never seen this man work. I've known him for over 15 years. Never seen this man work so hard. But his little toe is busted. Mm. And so, yeah, all of it. And then he's like, well, but I don't know how to throw this out. So many weeds. I don't know how to do it. I'm like, you get a garbage bag? We'll help you put it in the bag. Yeah, you did it really good last time. Oh, my God. The Keith Malley, you do it so good fucking defense.
She's very good at it.
You're great at this. Show me how to do it again.
We fucking got Keith Malley so hard on Thursday. Mm-hmm. It was, I mean, you are now a legend on the campground because when people heard this timeline of what happened, look at Andrea's face. Look at Andrea's face. She's floored. She laughed at us. Laughed at us for what you did to us. Anyway, you didn't do it because we make the decisions and blah, blah. I got to go to Al-Anon. I missed it this weekend.
This was a lesson to you guys. And it was a hit. Thank you very much. Let's get back to Scarlett Johansson.
No, right? I totally, you guys have to think about like when you're in a conundrum in your life, you should always go, what would Keith do? And he would usually sit back and find someone.
To deal with the conundrum.
Yeah. It's fascinating.
So when zombie apocalypse, I am not calling Keith.
You should call Keith because he is a magnet. He has a magnet of goodness on him somehow. When he got divorced from his wife, I'm like, that's fine. He's going to find another wonderful person. And she's going to be amazing. And she's going to deal with this fucking bullshit. And guess what? Shout out to Kyle Ocasio, who deals with this fucking asshole.
Hi, baby.
Buying him swings. Oh, I have a 3-chair swing. My girlfriend got it. My ex-girlfriend put it together. With her new boyfriend. So cool, everybody. Learn to live the Keith Malley way. By the way, we do coaching sessions, and I do think you should buy one.
Well, thank you for your help, Kendall.
Yeah. And this is just a funny thing. We come with like a pint of ice cream to share. When we're done with that pint of ice cream, Keith comes out with a fucking giant sundae in a bowl going like, hey, if you guys want ice cream, we're like, where are you and where are we? Where are you and where are we?
Well, you had ice cream and I go, that's a good idea. I have ice cream too.
What the fuck is happening? Anyway.
I go, good to know you like ice cream. Wish you told me earlier. Here's more.
Yeah. No, you're very good. All of it is just perfect. Ignorance is bliss, you guys.
Well, at keithandthegirl.com, I'll show you a picture of this swing. You did a great job.
I know.
It's very nice.
Look how we took pictures with it together, and Keith looks like he's having the time of his life.
It is fun.
It's a nice swing.
You go up like too high.
With the weed that we dropped off. Right. Also, we brought like, he asked for one spliff, and we brought him two. And then like halfway through this fucking building, Xerxes goes, I was wearing like nothing under my sweatshirt that I was wearing. Like I was hot because we're just dropping this shit off. So then halfway through, he's like, oh man, we didn't bring the weed. Like I would love to just smoke while I do this. And I'm like, oh, we did bring weed. Keith, you only have one spliff like you asked. So here we go.
See what I got to deal with? She was over for the weed and she
stealing my weed.
It.
Stealing your weed. That's horrible. That's really nice. Fucked up. Horrible friend.
Not a bad life. Not a bad life.
No, but Xerxes is so nice. He's like, no, we brought him the weed. I'm like, fuck this asshole. Well, you're literally holding up his fucking swing set in parts in your hand. Okay. I'm glad you got laid this weekend. But you're toasty hot.
You guys are good at that stuff.
We are good.
So thank you.
Yes.
Now, we roasted marshmallows on the stove. We had our own little picnic. J-Nog on social media. I'm doing a solo show. 3 dates. This show is about losing one of my best friends to suicide 20 years ago. It's the 20-year anniversary right?
It was yesterday, actually.
Wow. Yeah. Coping with the loss, mental health, all that. Part of the proceeds go to the Trevor Project. And stop soldier suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How's it? How's the practice going? Have you performed it? It's a one man show's different, right?
Yeah, it's very challenging and so different from stand up because it's like 80% of it is very serious, and there of course there are some light parts in there so people don't get the press from the show. But
how old were you 20 years ago?
When I was 20 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. So, all right. 40, yeah.
Does the family know about this?
What, like my wife and...
No. The dead person's parents,
siblings. I reached out. I don't really talk to his parents anymore. I think it just became more difficult for them. Right. But his sister came to the last fundraiser. We have a scholarship fund at the high school that we went to, and his sister came to the last fundraiser, and I reached out to her on Instagram and let her know what I was doing, and she didn't get back to me. But I just wanted the family to know for sure.
Is that weird that she didn't get back to you?
No, because I'm kind of used to the communication with them is here and there. Sometimes they don't get back to me. I think it probably is difficult for them, like seeing...
Did they ever blame you? You're the best friend? Really? I don't know.
No.
Did you blame yourself?
In the show, there's one time where he said something to me that always played back in my head constantly now that like...
What's that?
We were smoking a joint in my room one time where it was the summer before he passed away. And then we finished smoking the joint. He looks at me. He's like, Jay, if I die, would you cry at my funeral? He said to me. And then I was like, yeah, dude, of course I would. And then he just starts like hysterically laughing and made it into a joke.
Right.
And then that moment always stuck with me because I was like, maybe he was like crying out for help in a way. And like he masked it with the laughing because I was like weirded out. And that always like play in my head over.
Did he leave a note or any kind of?
I heard he left a note. I never saw the note. I never heard what was in the note.
How'd he kill himself?
He shot himself in the head.
Jesus.
Yeah, in the side of the head?
I think side of the head because I think he was laying in his bed. He went to Sports Authority to buy a gun that morning.
What? Back. Sports Authority sells guns?
Yeah, in Tucson, Arizona.
Oh, my God.
And,
how old is he? 20.
He was 20. Mm. He was going to be, he was like the first one of all of us to turn 21, which was going to happen in November. And then never. So, yeah, he shot and killed himself. And
How did you deal with it?
I was driving home from college to celebrate Rosh Hashanah with my family.
That's a Jewish New Year.
Yes. And, we called, I got a pager back then and I got a page from my best friend, Ross. And it was like 911-91. Ross doesn't page 911-911.
Those motherfuckers who do though. Am I right?
Right. Jesus but like, Christ. And then you're like, you what happened? You're like, bring a Dutch. And you're like, that was the emergency.
You
know, like,
yeah. You pull off the highway because you don't have cell phones. You got to like find a phone that works, get the 25 to 50 cents. Yeah. Luke Tuman knows nothing about
it. I don't even know what you're describing.
Do you know what a beeper is?
I've heard of them.
Okay. So
but
beeper.
I've never seen one in use.
Here's what happens with a beeper. You call, let's say you have a beeper. I call your number and I hear beep, beep, beep. And then I put in the numbers that I want you to see. So I'll put in my phone number or if I'm at Keith's place, his phone number. And then you could add 911. 143 means I love you. 911 means call fast. There's all kinds of codes. Usually, or because not everyone has a cell phone, you don't know that I'm calling from Keith. I have a code. So maybe my lame code is 007. So you get a foreign number in your beeper. But 007, which means it's me calling from this phone number. Then you have to find a phone, most likely a landline. If you're out, you have to find a public phone and call that number.
Interesting.
Yes.
What a world.
And we used to walk to school in the snow, barefoot, 5 miles.
Yeah. Also, dialing zero on a phone used to be terrible.
Cut to 2019. I have a 3-person swing in my backyard. I know you're performing with this show October 16th, right? At Under St. Mark's?
Yeah, 16th, 23rd, and 30th. The first two dates are at 7 o'clock, and then the third date's at 9 o'clock. And after the show, I'm interviewing for the first two shows, suicide survivors.
Okay.
So someone from the LGBTQ community, he attempted suicide and survived, and I'm interviewing him about that. And then I have a vet from the Army who attempted suicide and survived for the second show. And then
it sounds like last minute, if they can stop this suicide plan, they all regret trying. Is that true?
Well, yeah. If you, there's like that famous Facebook video, the bridge guy.
Yeah.
And he said like once he jumped, he wanted to take it all back. And
well, in that whole documentary, they interviewed all the people who survived jumping off the bridge.
San Francisco. I didn't see that documentary. I heard it's very powerful.
Everyone who jumped off and survived said as soon as they jumped off, they wanted to change their mind.
Yeah, it's
that sucks, dude. Yeah.
It's right, crazy.
So if you
the millennial opinion, that sucks.
Sucks, dude. Oh.
Well, do you know the suicide rate from 1996 to 2006 went up 51%?
Men? I'm hearing men
are just overall. Mm. Overall. But men are more likely to kill themselves over women.
I wonder if that's because they have no practice sharing a feeling, let alone this feeling.
Right.
You know? And my brother attempted suicide when we were around that age. I was like 19 and he was 16 and he meant it. You know, he took a bottle of pills and was surprised to wake up. He had a video that I never watched. And it took me a long time to be like, he's not going to kill himself. If I don't hear back from him on a beeper, for example, Luke. And but I thought I would always be afraid. Like I started being afraid that other people would kill themselves. Like if you didn't call me back fast enough or if you had like an off night or were upset about something, I was always like, they're going to kill themselves. But it really does change over time. And I have spoken to my brother about it. It took me a long time. Like you get scared of the person. You're just like, hi, I don't know how to talk to you or speak to you or like, you know, right. I'm not sure what to say. Am I allowed to say negative things? But I think the best is just to be like normal life, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing. I can't change you or your mind.
Let's say you're not specifically suicidal, but you are very depressed. Could there be a service? You go to the Golden Gate Bridge, for example. You jump off it. You realize life is great and there's a net or there's a boat of great swimmers. Right, and you're like, oh shit, life.
Yeah, make it fun. Videotape it. Get a
virtual
documentary.
Virtual suicide, right?
Yeah.
And then you get a tape to go home with after.
Virtual suicide is a good idea. Yeah,
right. Little AC/DC in the background of your DVD. Yeah.
As you're on the bridge, they attach a bungee cord to the back of you, and you aren't looking, and then just
Follow Jay Nogg on social media. Twitter, Instagram is at Jay Nogg. The website is jaynogg.com.
You ever think of killing yourself, Jay?
No, I mean, I think everyone...
This is our usual outro. I mean,
after the Instagram plug,
you're like... Because I'm going to read some of your tweets. Do you ever think about it?
This is really like, an intervention.
Follow him on TikTok. He's got some great dancing videos. Anyways, Jay, have you ever wanted to hang yourself?
I mean, I think it's normal for everyone to think about it.
Nope,
every
Keith?
Once in a while. No?
No.
Nope.
No?
Jay, back to you.
All right. I mean, not like the act of doing it and like thinking it out, but always thinking like, what if, you know, I just was wiped off this planet right now? Like if I just, and like, I don't know. I know a lot of people have not like thought about doing it, but thought about like what would happen if you did it.
I don't think that. I do think sometimes, what if I took this computer and threw it out the window? What would I have to do next? Sometimes I think about that.
You know, the dude version of that shit.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
I've thought about it and I think it's, the closer you are to doing it, the more of a plan you have. Pills all the way.
Pills?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get this urge.
Suicide vest, MetLife Stadium before the next Jets game.
I don't have to be stopped, but when I'm walking and I see I look down, I'm like, I could just jump off that.
Right.
I get an urge.
I always say that. I'm like, you can just like jump, like what's stopping you from just being like,
Dude, I hate that.
Like, I'm at my girlfriend's gym, and they have, like, an outdoor area you can work out on. But if you look down, I'm on, like, the fifth or sixth floor. You look down, you can easily kill yourself. And I'm like, this would blow her mind today.
You're like, this would get me out of yoga.
Wednesdays will change for you forever. Right? Yeah.
You're like, you want me to do another set of pull-ups? Goodbye, dude.
Have you thought about killing yourself?
No, I have not. Never. I've had that feeling that, like, oh, what if I jump? God, that'd be crazy. But not like depressed and wanting to kill my. Nah, that sounds shitty, man.
We just. Yeah, me and Luke just mean for fun.
You sure you're a comic?
Luke, I don't fucking. Luke, follow online. Twitter and Instagram is Luke Tuma, T-O-U-M-A. And he hosts Too Many Cooks and his favorite show, Thursdays, 9 p.m. at Lucky Jack's.
Thank you.
Luke, you ever feel like killing anyone?
We asked the wrong question.
I'm closer to killing someone than killing myself, for sure. If I'm going to kill someone, it's not going to be me.
Right? I'm great.
What's the joy
in
that?
Another, yeah, kill another guy. Come on.
All right, we solved everything.
Yes,
for goodbye.
Sure. Can I say something, actually? Can I complain for a second?
Yeah.
Okay. You know our pal, Landfair?
Yes. Yeah.
She really thinks I hate her. I know this. I know she's been a listener for a long time, but she's always attacking me in one way or another. And she thinks, and she's, because she's mentioned this before, that I'm making it up, that I'm sensitive. She tweeted out after this piano guy, "Hey, Keith and the girl, you are on a streak of awesome guests right now, but it's been almost a year since we last had the pleasure to hear from Marsha Belsky."
Okay.
Get her on the show.
Sure.
So I wrote from Keith and the girl, mm-hmm. "It's me, Keith. Marsha has a key to our place, anytime, any day." Right?
That's nice.
She just insists on, and I quote, "I demand a grand P. Our studio is hip, but Jesus." As if Marsha's saying, "I need a grand piano," and that's it, right? Anne writes back, "Well, thanks for reminding me to not interact with you or your show guest, Keith Malley.
Whoa.
I keep forgetting that that's a no-no in today's social media-driven world."
Whoa.
This is not abnormal from her. She hates me. Why, Landfair? Why? And you'll say, "There's Keith overreacting again." Once what you say to him, "I know it. I know it." And you'll never admit where it came from. And that I don't know. But I know I'm right. You included Marsha in that. She could see that easily. "Well, I'm going to stand up for myself, put down Keith, and ruin the relationship with Marsha." "Really, Keith? Is that what you think I did? I woke up and I tried to ruin your life." Something's going on and I know it. "So I woke up today thinking, how can I hurt Keith?" "Landfair, don't you say it like that." "Oh, I have to call my boss. I have to take off work today to ruin Keith's life." Landfair? "You stop that now. You know what I'm saying. That you can take criticism."
We just got a puppet show.
Wow.
Holy shit.
It's been taking lessons from Dylan Adler. Landfair, there was so much passion in that. I really think you should take heed.
He moved his chair back a couple times. He did
full Shakespeare.
Yes. Just now. That was wonderful.
That was awesome.
I totally get it. You know what, Keith? We're going to leave that there.
Landfair, think about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I need an answer for sure. Please don't tweet it. Please. Or please do, because I don't know. That was a beautiful play.
I hope I can do it just how Keith wants it. Landfair? Landfair?
Oh,